Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to ask you to stay with me. As always, it'll be a few minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and we do this without any type of manipulation. That's because we're not trying to con anybody. We're not trying to sell you something. We're not trying to hustle you. We're just trying to give you some accurate information. Information that is my prayer will help you verify as well as identify the plan of God for your life. And if you're able to do that, then my prayer is you will orient and adjust to that plan. So this show is about giving you accurate information, not human speculation. Accurate information from the canon of Scripture called the Bible. It is a show about the Bible. No ranting, no raving, no hollering, no screaming, no begging for money. Just giving you some information. And you know, this show is predicated on building a main line of resistance in your soul, a flot line, F-L-O-T. That stands for Forward Line of Troops. That basically is made up of 10 unique problem-solving devices that we teach on this show. And this is not something that we discovered. This is age-old biblical truth taught by my pastor many years ago. But when we learn what's on our flot line, when we understand the problem-solving devices given to us in the Word of God, then it is possible, if we will use them, that we can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. Because adversity is always inevitable, but stress is always optional. We never have to be stressed out. In fact, we live a supernatural life. The Christian life is a supernatural life. It's an unusual life. We have the filling of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power to overcome the flesh that tempts us. We have the Word of God, which gives us insight into the strategy of the devil and what he does. Ephesians 6 talks about this, put on the armor of God so that we can stand against the strategy of the devil. And that's a military metaphor, just like the one we're using. The flot line is a military metaphor. So we have these invisible assets, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. You may have, I pray you have, I hope you have a well-qualified pastor that teaches you the Bible more than 30 minutes a week. I mean, someone who's teaching you God's Word, so that you can grow rapidly, not slowly. I mean, people can grow at different rates. I understand that, just like cars go at different speeds. But I'm looking for those people who want to grow quickly, people who want to get to the high ground of spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. And the only way you can do that is effectively represent Jesus Christ to your generation. Along the way, there are going to be difficulties and adversities and setbacks. And so I want you to learn how to deal with those things. There's a great passage of Scripture that does this, and it encourages us in our daily life. And it supports us personally as well as spiritually, and it gives us our options in life. And so what we're looking for, what I'm looking for, is I'm looking for one of you out there. I don't know, you may be in California, you may be in Redding, you may be in Grass Valley, you may be in Wyoming, you may be in Cheyenne, you may be in Mississippi, you may be in Maryland, you may be in a lot of different places where we broadcast this radio show, San Antonio, maybe you're in Houston, maybe you're in New York, but you are the person I'm looking for. You're the one that's going to be the leader. You're going to lead the way. When the going gets tough, you're the one that's going to get going, the tough get going. And by that, I mean you're going to stick with God's problem-solving devices. You're going to learn God's Word. You're going to set the example for your family and for your friends of what it means to be a mature believer. But don't worry. You're going to be tested, and you may get weary. I mean, this happens a lot. We get tested, and we get weary. One of the key passages to understand is Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. If you're a parent, if you're a principal, if you're a politician, these are things you need to know. In this passage, I'll read it to you, then I'll explain it to you, and I'll show you how you can get abnormal strength you did not know you had. Isaiah 40, 28 says, "Do you not know, or have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Listen to verse 30 of Isaiah 40. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. And here it comes now. Listen. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will fly, and they will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not be weary. That's you. You can do that. The background to this passage is a phenomenal background. And it's the background I want you to understand and see and hear. These Jews that we're talking about here had been taken captive by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who invaded Jerusalem and took away so many Jews into captivity. And then Persia came along and defeated the Babylonians and freed these Jews. And Isaiah writes to encourage those Jews who leave Babylon to go back to Judea, return to their homeland. And you can read about that in the book of Ezra. And they went back and rebuilt the temple wall. Nehemiah talked about them rebuilding the military. So this is a timeless truth for people that struggle with adversity in their daily life and in their walk, because these folks were coming out of slavery and going back to reestablish their land, and they were struggling. And so Isaiah said, don't you know? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Obviously, these folks are going to be tired. They were going to be weary. They're going to have a tremendous task in front of them in rebuilding their nation. So this verb, do you not know? The Hebrew word yada means knowledge, something that you've learned, information that you perceived, a principle that you've recognized. And this is critical. In order for you to live an effective Christian life, in order for you to be able to endure the adversity that you will face, you must learn something. You must perceive some information. You must recognize principles found in the Word of God. You cannot be a mature believer without learning something. One of the most discouraging things that I can think of are believers who've been saved for many years, 10, 20, 30 years they've been Christians, and they don't know much of anything. They haven't learned much. You know, the disciples were on a crash course with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to learn a lot in 3 years. I mean, he fed them, he taught them, he crammed it down their throat so they would understand, I'm leaving and you must carry on and you're going to have a cross to carry like I did. You better learn what you're going to have to do. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was constantly teaching these disciples. And I want to tell you, they were slow to learn, just like me, slow to learn. And so you must learn. The Bible clearly says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And most people, when they hear that study, they assume that, well, if I do like a 10-minute devotion every morning when I get up and I have my prayer time, that I'm fulfilling my duty to study. And I disagree. I think when the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when the Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, I think it takes more than 10 minutes a day. That's why I encourage you to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. And if you don't have one, I can surely recommend one that can give you tapes, DVDs, so that you can grow spiritually and study in the privacy of your own home. My own pastor, that where I go to church, teaches the Bible 4 hours every week. 4 hours of Bible study. We're doing a study in the life of Christ at my church, and we're now over 900 hours into the life of Christ. There's a lot to learn. Our Christian life that we spend here on this earth is spent learning. Learning how to execute God's plan. Learning what's in the future. Figuring out our personal sense of destiny. What is the perfect will of God? learning how to replicate the life of Christ. And you don't do that overnight. You must learn. You must have knowledge. If you want to avoid being discouraged, if you want to avoid becoming weary, there's something you must learn. Proverbs 1:22 says this as sort of a warning. It says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Because scorners," that's those who have contempt or mock God, "they delight in their scorning, and a fool hates knowledge." How long will you simple ones love simplicity? I hate to be the one to break it to you, but learning God's word is not a simple thing. It's not 10 minutes a day. If you're looking for some pastor to be simple, 2 points and a poem, and send you to the golf course or send you to the restaurant for lunch, you're never going to grow up. You're just going to be a Christian caricature. You're not going to replicate the life of Christ. You're not even willing to grow. You just want what I call a casual Christian, somebody to nod to God on Sunday and go your way the rest of the week. Yeah, you'll be in heaven. Yes, you'll have eternal life. Yes, you did believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you had priority number one, self. You were not interested in reproducing Christ to your generation because you wouldn't take the time to learn God's word. Isaiah 40:28 tells us that God's understanding is inscrutable. That means it's impossible to comprehend. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. Omniscient means he knows everything. Omnipotent means he's all-powerful. Omnipresent means he's always with us, regardless. So here's some principles we learn from Isaiah 40:28. God does not ever become weary. He always meets the needs of his people. Listen to Psalm 21:3. "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." I don't know what you're going through in your life or what adversity you may be facing, but let me say this. God is aware. He knows. You're not going through anything that no one else has gone through, and according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, he can secure you and keep you, and he is not asleep on the job. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was arrested, the disciples slept on the job while he prayed, and he came and said, "Can you not stay awake an hour or two?" They slept on the job. One of the most disgusting things in the world is for you to go to church and nod off and fall asleep while the Word of God is being taught. That is the ultimate in disrespect. I can't believe you would even consider taking a nap while the Word of God is taught. Oftentimes, if you look around in church, you'll see people like this, nodding off, can't pay attention. And then, when the bottom falls out of their life, they want God to swoop in and make it all right. They're not willing to spend the time learning God's problem-solving devices. He does not become weary. 2, he gives strength to the ones who are exhausted. That strength comes in the form of 2 power options. Number 1, the filling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And number 2, the Word of God in your soul, Hebrews 4:12. Number 3, to those who have no power, he increases their strength. Listen to Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength to the weary. Well, that's me. I've been traveling a lot and I'm weary. It's a noun. That word strength is a noun from the Hebrew word koach. And it means he gives might, or he gives ability, or he gives power. Listen as I read to you Jeremiah 9:23-24. "Thus saith the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the rich man boast of his riches, and let not the mighty man boast of his might." If you want to boast in something, verse 24 says, "Boast in this, that you understand me and you know me." There's a big difference between knowing God and understanding God. I have no doubt you know God this morning. You have accepted Christ as your Savior, but I'm not sure you understand the God you know. Do you understand his perfect righteousness and his perfect justice? Do you understand the essence of God, his sovereignty and his righteousness and his justice and his love, his eternal life, his immutability, his veracity, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence? There's a lot to understand. If you don't understand these things about the God you love, how can you serve him? How can you use the assets he gave you? The Bible says in 1 John 5:1, if we love him, we will obey him. Do you even know what you're supposed to do or not do? Not what people tell you, some of the goofy stuff they come up with. Don't drink soda pops. Don't eat popcorn. Stay away from candy. As if those are sins. You know, I'm being a little ridiculous and facetious, but you understand the point. Many, many, many churches will put you in chains and tell you you can't do this and you can't do that and be a good Christian when it's not even in the Bible. And yet people love to run your life. People love to calf rope you and make you do things that are not even in the Bible. If you're interested in learning what's in the Bible, then you better get you a well-qualified pastor that won't teach you legalism, that will give you the grace assets of the Christian life. Stick around here. You'll hear it all the time. Contact me. I'll tell you how to find some of these pastors that are squared away guys that'll give you the information and not charge you one dime. They'll send you anything they've got free of charge. So the Bible clearly says he gives strength to the weary. And then it says to those who have no might, verse 29, Isaiah 40, he increases their strength. This means the one who lacks ability, the one who lacks the strength to carry out, the one who doesn't have the substance to sustain himself, he will actually give you the power. He will make you do what you didn't think you could do. I remember playing football in college, and my college football coach was Paul Bear Bryant, the famous Bear Bryant at Alabama. He got men to do what they didn't think they could do. He would take you to the point of exhaustion and then challenge you to keep going. Those of you that have served in the military, you understand what the drill instructor did. He got you to do things you didn't think you could do. And this is what God does. He gives you the strength to carry out, even when you don't have the substance to sustain yourself. This is the supernatural ability of the Christian life. This is the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is the dynamics of the Word of God in your soul. This noun, he increases your strength, means he gives you an abundance. And it all comes by means of the faith rest drill. Problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. Standing on the promises of God. So the young men that fled Babylon in verse 30 of that passage were going to grow weary. They were going to stumble badly when they went back to their land. But the Bible says those who wait on the Lord, and here's the key, which means to look to the Lord, or hope for the Lord, or expect the Lord, this requires patience. If you want God to come beside you and help you, you're going to have some patience. Because it's all about God's timing, not your timing. If there's anything that'll get you in trouble, it's lack of patience. It is you jumping the gun. It is you being, shall we say, first out the gate. You must wait on the Lord. And this requires faith. Remember when the Jews had come out of Egypt and they were running from the Pharaoh for their life and they came up to the Red Sea and the Red Sea was there and the Pharaoh was behind them with his armies and it looked like they were going to die. It looked like they were trapped. And Moses said, stand still and watch what God is about to do. In order for you to see the power of God, you must stand still sometimes. Stand still on his promises. No weapon that is formed against you shall ever hurt you, Isaiah 54:17 says. This requires faith, and that's the faith rest drill. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, all for you. They're yours if you'll use them, if you'll trust them. This is the power that God's Word gives you, the sustainability that God's Word gives you. If you will be patient, if you will learn God's Word, listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot have faith if you don't learn God's Word. It's not like a train trying to go over a mountain saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. That's not faith. Faith is the actuality of what you believe. It's not you assuming unassigned responsibilities. It's you being patient, waiting on the Lord, staying filled with the Holy Spirit, growing in grace, and let God do the work. If you will wait on the Lord, verse 31 says, you will gain new strength. You will be refreshed, or you will be energized. I like to call it spiritual Red Bull. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but that's one of those energy drinks on the market today that a lot of people drink to get a burst of energy. Well, God can give you the spiritual Red Bull, but it's not just a little burst of energy. It's a life of energy, a new strength. I can assure you, in my life, in the many years that I've traveled back and forth across the southeastern part of the United States and out into the western part of this great country, there have been many, 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 many times I've grown weary and tired. Back and forth, driving, traveling, speaking for many years. And yet God has always energized me, always refreshed me when I stand to teach His Word. Isaiah 40:31 says, first, you will mount up with wings like eagles. That's wonderful. I see some eagles when I'm out fishing, and they are beautiful creatures. I love to watch them. They soar high above me. They can see much more than I can see. Their eyes are very, very sharp. And they soar on the currents of air that keep them aloft. Think about this for your life. How would you like to be able to soar above all the problems that you face and to survey the situation with divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint, looking at it from high above and seeing God's complete and total plan? See, this is something that's incredible. Once you get up above and you see the whole plan laid out, you see where you're going, not where you are. You see where you're going. And if you have the faith to trust God, you'll get there. So mounting up with wings like eagles, what a great promise that you can soar above your problems and look at the big picture, not just what's happening now. Because divine solutions are the only solutions. And human solutions, well, that's no solution. So you will run and not get tired, which means you're running in a race. Hebrews 12:1-2 tells us, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes. He ran a race, and he did not get weary. And you can do the same thing. There is a great cloud of witnesses watching you, and they're called angels. The angelic beings observe you. And God is asking you to lay aside every distraction, every encumbrance, every distraction, and any sin which entangles you, and run the race with endurance. What is the race? What is that about? It's the race to get to spiritual maturity, the race to be able to completely replicate the life of Christ. That's the race. It's the race for you to become a mature believer, because that is the one thing Satan opposes. He opposes that completely. Isaiah 40:31, they will run and they won't get tired. That means God will give you extended endurance. They will walk and not get weary. That means you won't get fatigue and you won't faint. Much like a 25 mile force march in the military. I mean, some people faint, some people can't do it, have to be picked up by the trucks and taken back to the base. But then there's always those few that have that supernatural ability to drive on and drive on and drive on. Those sort of people become special forces, Rangers, airborne, Marine recon. They become Navy SEALs. They have that endurance, and that's what God's looking for in you, special endurance, and He will give it to you. He will sustain you. You will be able to live your life with endurance and not get discouraged, not get weary, never get tired, never give up, never say, oh Lord, I can't take it anymore. You know, that's self-pity. The ultimate arrogance in your life is self-pity. If you get full of self-pity, you're going to start looking at the problems instead of the solutions. And you're going to look around and say, I just can't do it anymore, Lord. It's just not fair, Lord. I just can't handle it, Lord. Remember what Jesus did, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, suffered the shame. Didn't mean He was having fun, but it meant He was doing exactly what God designed Him to do. That's what God's plan is for you. It'll be tough. There'll be days that you'll fail, but if you rebound and get up and keep moving and keep growing and keep learning God's Word, you will replicate the life of Christ and bring God much glory, and you will be a winner, the invisible hero in God's plan. This is His plan for you, and my desire for you, that you would grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with me today. I pray you'll come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.